We're going to start this morning with questions, and just to let you know, your questions are so important, not only for this group, but also because all of these talks are recorded and they're posted as MP3 files on the internet. We have many, many full-length talks on our website, greatfreedom.org, as free downloads. And so the questions you ask, they not only serve you and this group, but also humankind. They serve people everywhere. So this is really wonderful, because this is really the first time in human history that teachings like this that are very direct and unerring have been available to everyone. Before this, these kinds of teachings that are extremely complete have been very limited in terms of who gave them and how one could receive them. So ask away, and know that when you ask, you're blowing a kiss to everyone everywhere. And if you want, we'll even disguise your voice with our vast technical capabilities.
My question is, when you're resting and you notice those feelings of sleepiness or fatigue, tiredness coming on, you just go with them, even if it means that you fall asleep?
Uh-huh. So you're going about your day and you're sleepy or...
Maybe just as you're, if I'm sitting,
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Probably more in like a meditation type situation.
Mm-hmm.
Just when you're saying to not describe things and not go into elaborating on things, especially in the beginning, but then how do you, I mean, it feels like
there's so many of
us doing it together. How do you talk about it with each other and not get carried away with talking about how it is for you?
How what is for you?
How you're feeling with resting and what it's like when you're, different things you're aware of and stuff like that. How mm-hmm. do you talk about it and not get carried away? Because sometimes things are really subtle, but when you're talking about it, it makes it seem like it's more substantial or something like that.
Anyone else?
What about the demons and the holes and sex? I kind of seen them. Sometimes it seems to be, there still seems to be a trigger that causes something, and I'm not sure. But it's still more like the demons and the sex.
It's more like elaborating and seeing clearly what my points of view are. And it's important to know your points of view. And there are so many things that I still, I think, are useful somehow. For example, this thing about everything is my mirror. But when I have a problem with someone, there is a mirror for me. Because everything is one. And I still think that this might be very useful. But it can also come slowly to the end, or not slowly, but to a kind of elaboration and getting too much into this, like therapy maybe. Always the same, me and my questions. But this small line.
Mm-hmm.
Or can I just go on?
Who we are is just totally simple and straightforward, and it's that by which we know we are. It's that simple. It is only via awareness that we know we are. So anything that we might describe about ourselves, whether it is silence, bliss, clarity, compassion, anger, sadness, grief, jealousy, no matter what it is, we're aware of those things due to awareness. Without awareness, none of those things would be. So none of those things exist in their own right. Within the all-inclusive peer view of awareness, all points of view are included and contained, no matter what they are. And all the points of view that are included and contained within the all-inclusive peer view of awareness through the dynamic energy of that awareness, and they're nothing else. They have no independent nature. And a point of view is just a simple phrase to describe anything that at all that appears, whether it's a person, a place, a thing, a thought, emotion, an experience, a sensation, a memory. An easy way to describe all of these things are points of view within the peer view of all-encompassing awareness. And as the points of view that appear within the peer view of awareness are naturally present and completely uninterrupted in being an expanse of awareness, they're like the luster of that infinite space of awareness and nothing else. They're not something that is separate from it. So anything that appears within awareness has never existed elsewhere. No matter what you call it, it is awareness. So, you know, get that straight, really, get that straight, because it isn't anything else other than awareness. No matter the label you give it, it matters not to try to have preferred labels like bliss, clarity, non-conceptual states, no self, no thoughts, impartiality, neutrality, spontaneous consciousness. They're all the same. You know, it doesn't matter, anger, shame, depression, all labels, no matter what they are, ultimately they are awareness. And we can live our life lost in the dynamic energy of awareness or not. It's as simple as that. And when we don't perpetuate all the stories of the points of view as being whatever their dictionary definition is, then boom, we know who we are. So it's very straightforward, you know, either we're relaxed as the awareness that's at the basis of all the points of view, or we're caught up in all the points of view, whatever they are. And so, you know, what that looks like is a point of view appears in awareness, and then either we rest as awareness and we see that that point of view, whatever it is, it appears, and it vanishes naturally in awareness, and during its entire duration, it's awareness too. But unless we rest as awareness and have familiarity with awareness and return to that again and again, then we can't possibly see that all points of view are their own undoing. They vanish naturally of their own accord. There's no way to hold them in place. If we persist in telling stories about every point of view that appears, then we're never going to get familiar with awareness. Not unless something happens and by some strange circumstance we suddenly know what awareness is from that moment on. But that just isn't the way it is for most people. For most people, progress is made gradually. Awareness is always present, yet it's not a destination. So if we think that we are getting to some kind of destination where we're always going to be timelessly free, that would be right here. Because each moment is complete and identical, and each moment is complete and identical as complete perceptual openness in all experience. There's nothing other than that. If we think we're headed to a destination where we're going to be timelessly free, then we automatically assume there's someone headed to that destination. So then we have a subject and an object, a person who's headed to a destination of timeless freedom. The only timeless freedom there is the natural rest of complete and utter availability and accessibility. that is right here, that is the looking, the seeing of everything as it is. And that looking and seeing occurs whether the eyes are open or shut. It has nothing to do with the eyeballs. Nothing whatsoever to do with the eyeballs. It's what imbues the eyeballs with the gaze. There would be no gaze without awareness. But it really has nothing to do with the eyeballs, because if that were true, then who would be seeing? What would be seeing in dreams? When we dream, there's all kinds of seeing, smelling, tasting, touching. Yet we're sound asleep, so what's seeing and hearing, tasting, touching, and smelling then? It's awareness, it's ever-present awareness. So it's very important not to be confused about this and not to follow along with confused ideas, because we are completely already timelessly free in the immediacy of what's right here. There's complete freedom and immediate perception, and that freedom and immediacy of perception is not tied anywhere. It's not tied to anything. It can't be affected by anything or diverted by anything or conditioned into anything else. It can never be fixated or identified or destroyed in any way. So please don't be confused about this. That's my heartfelt advice to you. No matter what appears, it already is timelessly free, so why be troubled by it? The only troublesome aspect of what appears is the description of it, which is just another point of view. In the restful enjoyment of ever-complete awareness, of super-complete awareness, whatever appears is A-okay. It vanishes naturally in and of itself. It's a complete act of love. And so when we look at what appears and we say, oh, this is a good one, this is a bad appearance, this is an acceptable appearance, this is an unacceptable appearance, then we just destroy ourselves. You know, we destroy the naturalness of our own being, which is beyond all these descriptions. You see, what we're really looking for when we describe is that we're attempting to find freedom by deriving some kind of meaning and significance out of what appears. And we can do that to a very limited degree, perhaps, by corralling a bunch of our points of view and saying, well, this is my identity, this is who I am. But that is so limited. It's a very limited way of being. When the wide open expansiveness of wisdom awareness is available. Beyond all descriptions is the wisdom that is synonymous with awareness. Beyond all descriptions and the need to attribute causes and results to everything is wisdom awareness. In wisdom awareness, which is the sole cause and the sole effect, whatever a cause is, it is on cause. They're not two. The cause and the on cause aren't two. The effect and the unaffected are not two. So this is the true meaning of non-duality. But why even philosophize or describe it at all? Why not just know it decisively in the immediacy of your experience, whatever that is? Whether it's disappointment or elation, whether it's missing someone or being happy to see them or whatever it is, it's all timelessly free. And so, you know, when we give this complete and utter relaxation and rest that is at the basis of everything that appears, when we give this to ourselves, then there's nothing in the way ever. No matter what appears, there's nothing in the way ever. Whether it's happiness, suffering, joy, illness, a wonderful life or death. You see, when we know everything to be timeless sleep tree, and we don't need to parse and nuance everything into something to accept and something to reject, then we're just relaxed no matter what happens. No matter what happens, we're completely relaxed. If we really want to know ourselves and have others know us, then this is what we really want others to know about us. This is how we want to know ourselves. Many times we just, and it's just because we've learned to do this, we've learned to describe ourselves to others in intellectual and psychological terms, or even in spiritual terms. So we have these different make-believe worlds, and then we describe ourselves in all of these different ways according to conventional outlook. In terms of getting to have someone else know us, to know who we are. And so we have all these ideas about ourselves, all these points of view, and then we share them with other people, and we think, oh, this one likes my points of view, they're my friend. This one doesn't like my points of view, so they're not my friend. This is a simple way of looking at it, but it's very straightforward, really. But if we really want to know who we are, then to just enjoy the complete wide openness, the infinite spaciousness of the basic reality of everything, stainless and flawless like infinite sky, is to just be relaxed in every single moment with nothing needing to be done about what appears. If anything is to occur, why not let it occur from wisdom rather than trying to patch together a bunch of points of view? Wisdom is completely at ease, always completely at ease. It doesn't need to think about anything in order to arrive at decisions. The pristine purity of awareness is inclusive of everything about it. So awareness itself and all of its dynamic energy are originally pure. No matter what appears, it's originally pure, whether you call it wide awake, sleepy, dreaming, birth, life, death, it's all originally pure. Original sin is originally pure. Karma is originally pure. Reincarnation is originally pure. Original sin is timelessly free. Karma is timelessly free. Reincarnation is timelessly free. All labels, no matter what they are originally pure and timelessly free. No matter what their description is, they have no information other than their timeless freedom, other than their spontaneous purity. So this is very good news. Awareness isn't anywhere else other than in points of view. There isn't any awareness anywhere else. There's no realization of timeless awareness that's separate or apart from points of view. So if you're trying to get into some kind of state, please stop immediately. Whatever appears, it's the impeccable reality. The impeccable reality that is flawless and stainless like infinite space. Forever empty, forever flawless like the sky, the cloudless sky. So there's nothing to need that needs to be done about it, and there's no way to think yourself into it or meditate yourself into it or follow any other string of methods, practices, causes and effects that might lead to something that isn't a thing, first of all, and that's already here. Just relax, that's it. Simple and carefree, like an old person basking in the sun. You know how sometimes old people just forget everything? They can't remember 1 minute ago or anything. just like an old person basking in the sun. Nothing more to do, no plans or actions, nothing to think about, the past, it doesn't even exist. Or the future either, what's that? There's just the warmth of naturalness that's right here. Complete ease, and all the struggle and turmoil are completely forgotten. All the struggle and turmoil that seem to be so important, so urgent, so much a matter to act upon, they're all non-existent. They've never been. As much as they seem to be at the time, they've never been. Well, this is so what's about what's right here. And even though we may have learned otherwise that what appears is so important and so significant and that we must do something about it immediately, this is just a learned behavior that has nothing to do with what's ultimately real. What's ultimately real has never been tied up anywhere. It's absolutely impossible that it could be tied up anywhere, or tethered or bound or in a cage. There's no cage or prison anywhere. There's never been a cage or prison of any kind. What's already timelessly free and timelessly pure couldn't possibly be a cage or a prison. Where would that cage or prison be? In absolute purity, in absolute love, in absolute wisdom. So no thought or emotion or experience of whatever kind has ever been a prison or a cage. To attribute to it that it is a prison or a cage is simply to add one point of view to another point of view, but both of them are timelessly free and originally pure. No matter what you say about anything, it's timelessly free and originally pure. All points of view that appear within the impeccable, flawless, pure space of awareness are, they're like reflections in a mirror. And just like a mirror is never affected in any way by what appears within it, so too awareness is never affected in any way by what appears within it. A mirror can reflect anything. It can reflect war, peace, anger, shame, sorrow, bliss, joy, clarity. And the mirror is completely unaffected. It doesn't go, yikes, oh no, shame. Shame's appearing, I've got to make a big story out of it. Or, oh, I feel like I don't have any self-esteem. Yikes, the mirror says. So whatever appears, it already is flawless, like a flawless crystal ball. Awareness and all of its dynamic energy are forever flawless and forever free. Awareness has never been made into anything. The uncreated and unborn can't be made into anything. So just relax. You know, there's nothing to think about, and including everything that I've said here today. Everything I've said here today, it's not the words I'm saying, but the resonance of complete relaxation that's naturally present, in which there's no need to think about anything. That's the most powerful communication here. Everything that appears, no matter what it is, it appears as a single, non-dual expanse of evenness and equalness. So no matter what appears, no matter how many things appear, no matter how many seeming laws of here, like cause and effect, time and place, all of these things. No matter what appears, it's a single non-dual expanse of equalness and evenness, in which there's never been an appearance that had an independent nature. So there's no appearance whatsoever in awareness that has any independent nature whatsoever. All appearances, their only nature is awareness. Their only essence is awareness. Awareness is the magnificent home. The magnificent home in which everything within that home is perfect and complete in itself. The great completion, the great perfection, everything all at once. So there's nothing whatsoever that needs to be done about what appears. The decisive experience of awareness is simply in resting as awareness, and resting as that wide open space that is so obvious right here. Something appears, there's just this naked rest. The direct perception, the naked direct seeing of everything as it is. Something appears in awareness. It endures in awareness and it resolves in awareness, and the appearance and the enduring and the resolution are all awareness too. In that completely relaxed, wide open spaciousness, there's nothing to be done about anything that appears. And it's only in the enjoyment of relaxed awareness that this is really obvious. Otherwise, it's just a theory or a philosophy. In the reality of complete awareness, in which everything appears and resolves, it's in the decisive experience of that awareness that it's directly, nakedly seen that everything does appear and resolve within it, and that there's nothing to be done about it. Awareness and appearance of awareness, the resolution of that appearance, awareness, another appearance of awareness, whatever it is. It's only in the complete ease of awareness that that can be decisively realized. All realization is realization of the true nature of points of view. You see, there isn't a separate thing other than the true nature of points of view. All appearances of whatever kind that are simply defined with the phrase points of view, all of these points of view, whatever they are, they've never been anything. In relaxed awareness, there's a number of ways in which this decisive experience of awareness can come about. One is that suddenly the flawless knowing that's already at the basis of one's own awareness, that's inseparable from the basis of one's own awareness, that quite suddenly it can encompass the sublime knowing of everything as it is. So that's one way. Another way is to be introduced to awareness by a teacher. Another is to receive complete teachings, complete direct teachings that are totally unerring. And through those teachings, conviction dawns. And lastly, some people's minds are already at rest. Their awareness is already naturally at rest. And and so when one already has an easeful mind, an easeful awareness, and even though they might not know what to call that, then it's very easy to become more familiar with that as the total reality of everything. So you see, there's nothing complicated or No particular way to go about it. Just whatever your disposition is just right, whatever it is. Enjoy that too, whatever your disposition is, enjoy that. One of the great things about awareness, which is super compassionate and wise and superbly helpful in every appearance, is that nothing needs to be changed about anyone in order to realize them. Whoever you are and whatever your points of view are, they're a great realization, whatever they are. So to try to change your points of view in order to realize awareness is a complete dead end. It's a dead end. All it does is perpetuate more sadness and suffering. To think that you need to change yourself in any way to realize awareness is a complete dead end. Whatever appears, it is timelessly free. And in gaining familiarity with awareness, it isn't like a cat watching a mouse. In the beginning, it may be like a cat watching a mouse, awareness watching whatever appears. But in the gaining familiarity with the utter essence of naturally present awareness, then very soon whatever appears, without trying to do so, whatever appears is inseparable from awareness. There's no perceiver or perceived, no seer or seen, no experiencer or experience. In resting as awareness, there's no doer from the very beginning. In awareness, there is no doer, so there's nothing to get rid of. You see, there's no doer that we ever needed to get rid of, or no personality or ego or pain body or individual identity or anything else. All these are just points of view, and whatever these points of view are, they're all impeccable and timelessly free. They're pure and free in their own place. Just because someone told you that they're true doesn't mean they're true. Or just because you might think they're true doesn't mean they're true. As something in their own right. No matter what appears, it has no independent nature. And so for many people today, conviction dawns just by hearing about the true nature of who one is. Most of us have never really received direct instruction or direct teaching. Then when we hear them, we go, wow, I've always known this. This is no big deal. I've always known this. Now, many of us have learned that we have to do something about what we're thinking, that we have to change our thinking or change our emotions in order to be happy, and that we have to constantly be on the lookout to change our experiences too in order to have happy thoughts, happy emotions, and happy experiences. However, have you noticed how that never comes about? It's impossible to contrive happy thoughts, happy emotions, and happy experiences. We may for a while have some happy thoughts, happy emotions, and happy experiences, but then what happens? Just when we think we have that happiness nailed down, it disappears. So this is another very important aspect of timeless awareness. Whatever appears, it already is timelessly free. So all of your well-socialized conduct that you've ever performed in your life, all that's timelessly free. And all of your antisocial conduct too, that's also timelessly free. So you see, now this turns the whole apple cart upside down. It really does, because we think that in order to live a good life, it means that we have to have only well-socialized behavior and never have any antisocial behavior. Yet I've never met anyone who hasn't had both. So, well, antisocial behavior and well-socialized behavior. Never met anyone who hasn't had both. So when we only look to those two things, we're looking to find something based on cause and effect, that by contriving our thoughts, emotions, and experiences, somehow happiness will never come about. But this has never been so for anyone. No one has ever contrived their thoughts, emotions, and experiences into a happy state. And if they have and say they're happy, then they're just happy in the illusion points of view. So it isn't the same as timeless freedom. When we rest as awareness, we eventually get to the point with that where we're resting without trying to do so. And then we realize that all of these things, no matter what it is we've thought, said, done, no matter what emotion we've had, that all these emotions, all these thoughts, all these actions, no matter what they are all timelessly free and originally pure. Now, when we live our life based on points of view and a lot of thinking and intellectually speculating about everything, when we hear something like that, we think, oh, chaos would ensue if I could see all of my thoughts, emotions, and experiences as timelessly free. Certainly, chaos would ensue. But that isn't what happens. Timeless love is completely unconditioned. Timeless awareness is synonymous with timeless love. Completely unconditioned. That means all appearances within it are unconditioned. And the only way to know that wisdom, love, awareness is to rest as awareness. Rest as unconditioned awareness with all unconditioned points of view, whatever they are. And even though this goes against everything we've ever learned, what we see is that no matter how we've described everything, good, bad, positive, negative, neutral, happiness, suffering, no matter what it is we've described, it's all absolutely equal. And it's in that total freedom comes about effortlessly. It's only in the immediacy of what's right here, good, bad, and ugly, beautiful, sublime, and junky, crummy, awful, bummer, glee, whatever it is, it's all timelessly free. So please don't make anything out of what appears, because it's all equal anyway. And so this is so easy to just enjoy the complete relaxation of your own being, the timeless freedom of everything, no matter what it is that appears, the tears, the happiness, the missing someone, the happy to see him, the longing to see someone, the warmth of their embrace. It's all timelessly free. There's no one who isn't up to this. So if you're sitting here thinking, oh, this isn't for me, well, even if you think that thought is timelessly free. So you see, there's nothing to do. The effort is over, completely over. And in that timeless freedom of everything just as it is, there is the realization of the true nature of all points of view. And all that realization is super complete wisdom, love, and tremendous energy of great benefit at all times. That's all it is. That's what the realization of the true nature of phenomena is. It's complete love that cannot be held back. I'll read something that someone sent to me this morning, and who lives in America, and he's part of the Great Freedom Community. His name is Matt, and he wrote, "Dearest Candace, this world is blessed to have such a lover and such a poet as you." And then the rest of it is a quote. "Our saints and masters of awareness are nothing more than mad ones, crazed with love. Their texts and teachings are nothing more than insane love poetry. Thank the mad ones who live in love and speak of the point at which they can no longer accept the gems and jewels of their lover's manifestation. All the thoughts, the feelings, all the sensations are no longer enough. They speak to their lover in all things that they do, and they are not satisfied with anything less than complete resolution in the arms of the one true love. The hearts of people everywhere are the eyes of love. The view of all-encompassing pure awareness is nothing more than love. The pure love that is nothing more than a lighting of the lamps of all eyes all at once, all hearts all at once, illuminating so vast that it outshines itself instantaneously. Blessed are the divine crazed lovers that are called teachers." I really like this because this is just such a beautiful description of love that cannot be contained by anything, where there's just this awakening to total love, wisdom, and energy that can't be restrained in any way. And then all of the thinking, all of the emotions, all of the speech, all of the qualities, all of the activities of our life that only is wisdom, awareness, are just this expression of great love and benefit for everyone. And so, you know, this is true sanity, really. It's true sanity. It's the true essence of our being. There's never been anyone who's been left out from this. And then Matt writes, "May the lamp of our hearts be realized as the blazing sun that outshines all non-recognition of itself." When we take the appearances to be real, then we believe that what appears is something other than love itself. We go, "Oh no, not that one," or "Oh yes, that one." Now, I've never met anyone who couldn't rest as awareness. I've never met a single person in 25 years who couldn't rest as awareness. Not a single person. So everyone's included. As everyone is aware, who would be excluded? It's impossible that anyone could be excluded. And if it's only based on awareness, which is timeless and complete in itself, how could it only apply to certain people? This is impossible. There's no way out. There's no way out of awareness, and even if you want to live your whole life based on points of view, I wish you all the best. Even if you were to live your whole life based on points of view, which I know won't be the case for anyone in this room, but when you die, boom, blazing awareness. So there's no way out. You see, even if you don't want to realize awareness and you say, "Oh no, that's not for me, that's a crazy idea," or whatever, there's no way out. And there's no way in either, because you've always been awareness, our awareness now, and always will be awareness. So So just relax and know that whatever appears, it's sweetness itself. It's just like a big kiss. The love you've always been looking for, it's in whatever appears. It's not in anything else. It's not in a person or in your self-esteem or all these other crazy ideas. Whatever the crazy idea is, it's the lover, you know, it is awareness. It's the lover, the loved, and the loving all at once. If you think you have to whip and shape yourself into awareness, forget it. It'll never happen. And if you want someone else to whip and shape you into awareness, that's not happening here. You'll have to go somewhere else. If you like that kind of thing, you better go somewhere else. But a lot of times we learn we're flawed, and so then, and we try to whip and shape ourselves into perfection, and then when we hear about awareness, we go, oh, yippee, and because we think we're flawed and we've been trying to whip and shape ourselves into being something good and positive, then we try to find someone who will whip and shape us into awareness. If we think we're flawed, then we think we need a good whipping. So we start looking for somebody to whip us. People love it when I talk about this. It brings up all kinds of things, doesn't it? All of which are originally pure and timelessly free. I know what you're all thinking. That's okay. Whatever the thoughts are, they're cool. But, you know, timeless freedom was never found in situations of total unlove by anyone. And we can see this demonstrated everywhere. So just relax and allow the love that's at the basis of everything to flourish. Thank you so much. I just love being with you and being here today.